The theme verse throughout the year, been seeking the Lord concerning this theme verse that we've had, that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you turn in your Bibles there, that way we can read it together. And I hope to keep it very simple, as the verse definitely does speak for itself, but still seek to glean some more light concerning the verse, and seeking to encourage the saints of God specifically to be thankful. Definitely to be thankful. We have much to give thanks for, but oftentimes we just forget to give thanks, don't we? So 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we'll read from verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and we'll be focusing on verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's very clearly not just speaking necessarily to anyone, even though one of the marks of an unsaved person is to be unthankful, but specifically for the Christian, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and I, brethren, is that we ought to be thankful, that we are to give thanks in everything. This church in Thessalonica was a place known for commerce, for its exchange of goods and services for money. It was this kind of place. It wasn't necessarily something wow necessarily about Thessalonica, but in one of Paul's missionary journeys, he planted this church in Acts chapter 17. And as we know, Paul's heart concerning the churches, they were dear to his heart. Even through Paul's sufferings and testings and trials, the care of the churches was always on his mind and always on his heart. Even this church of Thessalonica, he eventually sent Timotheus over there to see how they were faring. This church was dear to Paul's heart, and he writes this epistle to the church in Thessalonica to encourage them. And especially in this chapter here, concerning the practical effects of the day of the Lord on believers. And one thing he exhorts them to do is to give thanks, to give thanks. It's been said in the commentary by one commentator that we are not to be giving thanks for everything, but in everything, for that's what the scripture says. And when we learn to give thanks in everything, knowing that in any circumstance, whatever the case may be, we learn to thank God not for the evil. We're not commanded to thank God for evil, for bad, for wrongdoing, for injustice. There's no command in Scripture to give thanks for those things. We don't thank God for rape and murder and for theft and for these things. We don't thank God for selfishness, and we don't thank God for any of these things that displease Him and are against His ways. We are not commanded to give thanks for these things, but if these things are ever to come our way during those things, we are to still give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because we know by the Scriptures that God is going to use these things for good. And the child of God knows and understands that. To be thankful simply means to be grateful. It's an express of gratitude. Okay, when someone does something for you, whatever the case may be, helps you in some way, or whatever it is, the common response is thank you. Thank you for your help. It's just a common response for just expressing your gratitude toward a person or someone. And yet how much more when it comes to God, how much more do we have to thank Him and express our gratitude toward Him? We heard this morning even concerning the matter of God supplying our needs. We have much to give thanks for. I'm not going to repeat that message, even though it was a blessing. Give thanks is written in the present active imperative and second person plural, meaning that every one of you thank God and thank Him now and continue to thank Him. That's pretty much what it's meaning behind it. To give thanks is to thank God, every single one of you. Thank Him now and continue to thank Him. Don't cease thanking the Lord. Don't ever get tired of thanking God. One thing I was told even after I got saved, it was actually by Pastor Charlie. He said, every morning you wake up, thank God for your salvation. Every day, thank God for your salvation. And I took that advice. And every day I thank God for my salvation, because it's a marvelous thing that God would save a sinner like me. And I've never taken that for granted. Being grateful, being thankful is opposed to taking things for granted. When you're thankful, it's opposed to being expecting more, being discontent. Being thankful or grateful is obviously opposite to being unthankful. And unthankfulness is a wicked thing in the eyes of God, and it leads to much destruction, as we see in the scriptures. But one thing we also know, the reason why we don't give thanks for everything but in everything, is because we recognize God's sovereign hand is in charge, and not blind fate or chance. It's not just because if it happens, it happens. No, we understand that God is in control of everything. And what we mean by that is, we'll get to that eventually. And when we learn to give thanks in everything, then we will then learn to give thanks for all things. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever our part, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. No matter what comes our way, Lord, we're not moved, but we're going to thank you and give you the glory. And we're going to look into that. Spurgeon said, concerning the matter of rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, leading into verse 18, he says, when joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. That's verse 18. And that's the case, isn't it? Praying, what you see even throughout scriptures, and we're going to notice it, even though I'm not going to focus on it, in some of the scriptures that are going to be mentioned, that thanksgiving is often accompanied by praise and direct address to God. In other words, it's speaking almost directly to the Lord, praising Him and thanking Him. And you see these things, especially as you go through the Psalms and many other scriptures, where you see this common connection or mention of glory and thankfulness and praise and these things are toward the Lord. And so praising the Lord and thanking the Lord are synonymously used in certain scriptures, but these things are often accompanied, where you cannot be thankful for everything if you're not rejoicing evermore and praying without ceasing. And they go hand in hand. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to be focusing on verse 16 and 17, but verse 18. In conclusion of verse 18, where it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The thought isn't, this is God's will, so you must do it. The thought is rather, this is God's will, so you can do it. And for all that are in Christ Jesus, we can give thanks to God in everything. In everything. Before you met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you received this blessed hope, it's hard to give thanks when a trial came your way or a circumstance came your way. As a matter of fact, you probably were tempted, if not, did the opposite and maybe blamed God or cursed God or your response was some other way. But as a Christian, knowing that this is the will of God, we know therefore in Christ Jesus we can give thanks in everything. One of the marks we see of an unsaved person that ought not to be found of a Christian is unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1, we see a very detailed and graphic list of the fruit of unsaved people. But what we see also in Acts, Romans chapter 1, so it says in verse 20 that for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is not one person on earth that has an excuse when they stand before God. But notice this, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. When the knowledge of God came to them, they didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't acknowledge Him to be God. As a matter of fact, if we continue in verse 21, it says, neither were thankful. They weren't thankful. So what was the fruit? They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, the one when the knowledge came to them and they chose not to glorify Him, neither thank Him, they changed that image and made it like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so God gave them over. And they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Unthankfulness is one of the marks of an unregenerate person. And to go further than an unregenerate person, it's specifically for one who refuses to acknowledge God and therefore will not be thankful. Matter of fact, they praise themselves and praise others. They even praise His creation and give His creation glory and attention and worship His creation and not Him Himself. It's a mark of an unregenerate person, and God does not take any pleasure in unthankfulness. We see how much displeasure He takes in unthankfulness and gratitude towards God when we see, was it Herod in Acts chapter 12 that chose not to give God the glory? Was it Herod? Is that right? And what happened to him? He was pretty much stricken with worms and he died. Not giving God thanks and glory is a serious thing to God. And again, it is a mark. It is a mark of an unregenerate person. Someone who takes the glory and is unthankful to God and giving glory to others even. But it ought not to be found of the children of God. Did you know that you can, being unregenerate, still in lip service say, "Thank you, God"? But that doesn't mean much to God because you're not in Christ Jesus. The first step is to be found in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to labor on the gospel here, but the first step is to be found in Christ Jesus, because you can be religiously pious if you want to be and thank God, but your motive, no doubt, is not right. And we see that even given in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. And where he says there, where it gives the example where two men went into the temple to pray. And one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Isn't that funny? "God," this is what he said, "I thank thee. I thank thee." Oh, wow, he's giving thanks to the Lord. What's he thanking for? "I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." This man was an unregenerate man, and we understand that this is an example of those that are trusting in their own righteousness rather than in the righteousness of God. But what you see is that you can be religiously pious and give thanks but not be in Christ Jesus. So it's not just about the lip service of giving thanks, but rather that the heart of the child of God is full of thanksgiving, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and therefore in everything giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, child of God. Creating, so again, you can give God the glory for things that He's not even a part of. And we've heard testimony after testimony. We see it in Isaiah chapter 50 of those that go about causing their own sparks. And we even hear, I'm always reminded of the testimony of our dear brother John Kura, a self-made millionaire and supporting several missionaries and had money and giving, who knows how much was given to the Lord, and by his own testimony saying God was not in that. But yet he would thank God and give God the glory. But God is not wanting lip service, and God is not just wanting you to just thank Him with your lips and give Him praise for a work, as we heard this morning, that is not a part of. He wants it to be a genuine thanks in everything that you go through in the will of God. And I say in the will of God, because if it's not in the will of God, it's very hard to give thanks. Very hard to give thanks. Why should we give thanks? Well, by its very definition in which it is written, we are commanded to, plain and simple. Again, it was written in the present, active, imperative. Give thanks. Imperative, it's a must. Give thanks, and give thanks now, and don't cease to give thanks to God. Is he not worthy of thanksgiving? Absolutely, He's worthy. We see it even in the psalmist, how he says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks One of the things we can give thanks for is this, that the remembrance of His holiness. We see the same thing written there in Psalm 97 verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Thank God that He is set apart, that He is not like unto man, that He is not like the world, that He is not unclean but clean and pure and holy, and therefore we too are commanded to be holy, for He is holy, is it not? And the psalmist here acknowledges the blessing of purity and the blessing of God's holiness, and at the remembrance of His holiness, he thanks the Lord. And ought we not to thank God for setting us apart in Christ Jesus and making us a holy people, and we are no longer an unclean people like the world is? That's a work of the Lord, and we thank God for it, and we are commanded to. The psalmist even says this in 107, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His work with rejoicing," with rejoicing. Like we heard this morning, God is not just wanting our service. Yes, although He did not tell them, you're doing the wrong thing by making these sacrifices unto Him. They were the sacrifices that God had appointed for a time, and He wanted them to make these sacrifices unto Him. But it was not about that sacrifice. These were just a means to an end. It was a picture of what's to come. But He says and stated very clearly thereafter in Psalm 50 verse 14, we heard it this morning, that what does God want? He wants us to offer unto God thanksgiving and pay the vows unto the Most High. What does God want? Thankful Christians, thankful saints of God. He just wants us to be thankful and be thankful in everything. You see in Psalm 116 verse 17, the psalmist says, "I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." You see in Jonah, when he repented in the whale's belly, on the fish's belly, in Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." God wants a sacrifice, but what kind of sacrifice? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, may God help us to offer Him up this sacrifice of thanksgiving, that we would give thanks to God in everything. Hebrews 13:15, we see by Him, "Therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." A mark of a Christian is a thankful one. And God wants us to be thankful in all things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there are some things that are easy to give thanks for, and some things that are not so easy to give thanks for. Is that true? And we'll get to those things that are easy to give thanks for, but I want to touch on some of those things that are not so easy to give thanks for. And why I say it's not so easy to give thanks for, because they're not pleasant, outwardly speaking. Physically speaking, they may not seem pleasant. And we understand by the scriptures that they are but a light affliction for a time. And it is an affliction. But by God's grace, you can still give thanks for it. You know why? Because the child of God understands who God is and how He works. We see certain examples in Scripture of people who faced circumstances that were perhaps hard to give thanks for, physically speaking or logically speaking, but you still see their response gave praise and glory to God because they knew the Lord. And there are many examples in Scripture, but I'm not going to touch on every single one of them. I just want to mention a few. And I want to mention this. As we go through this, let me say, beginning, the reason why they were able to maintain an excellent spirit and give God the glory and praise and thank Him was because they saw or understood that there was a purpose in it. That there was a purpose in it because they understood their God. You see, when you understand God, you start to view every circumstance differently because you include God in the equation. And so when a circumstance comes your way, one of injustice, something unfair, something that makes you say, where did that even come from? Why are you even doing this when you don't even have to? Things that don't make sense. But yet you knowing God, who's sovereign over all things, power, has power over all things, in control over all things. You say, okay, Lord, I don't get what's going on, but I give you praise and glory. We see in the example of Joseph and his brethren, we understand the details of Joseph's life, do we not? We've heard it countless times before, brethren, and we know what he went through. We know how his brethren sold him into slavery. Before that, they thought of just killing him, but then they thought they'd make some money off him, and they sold him into slavery. And then after going into slavery, it seemed like there was some sort of hope when Potiphar purchased him and was made a servant in Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar favored Joseph and pretty much gave him, you know, withheld nothing from him save his wife, as Joseph knew and understood that. And based on a false accusation, was in prison. And there are many more details to go through all of that, but it's amazing how towards the end, when Joseph was placed second in charge in the whole world, second in charge by the Pharaoh at the time, and his brethren came, and then he pretty much confessed to his brethren who he was, because his brethren did not recognize him, and they thought he was dead and gone. They didn't know anything about their brother Joseph. But when Joseph showed them forth, they were grieved. But look at Joseph's response in Genesis 45:5. He says, therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What a mindset. See, Joseph was now standing in the purpose that God used all of that for, and therefore could rejoice. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he repeats to them again, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. Yes, it was evil. It wasn't a good thing. It was an evil thing, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see, when you have the right perspective with God in the equation, it's not hard to be thankful. It's not hard to give thanks by faith. And we are not commanded, as I said, to give thanks for evil or bad doings, but we do thank God by faith, because we know that He is the only one that can take injustice, wickedness, an absolutely chaotic situation, and bring about some sort of good in the child of God. Only God can do that. You see how even the psalmist, when he was afflicted, understood, oh, this is a good thing. What do you mean it's a good thing? Since when is affliction a good thing? Well, let's see why it's a good thing. Because Psalm 119:67, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. You see, you always respond in the right way when you have God in the equation. And it's a wonderful thing when you stand in the purpose that God used it for and you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for thou art good, not evil. No, no, Lord, you didn't do anything wrong. You're a good God. Psalm 19:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, he had a right perspective, thankful. He didn't question God or curse God in any way. As a matter of fact, we consider even Job's life and Job's testimony. And you can imagine, and this has been preached on many, many a times, and the circumstances, literally one after the other, a servant coming and another servant coming, another person coming, another person coming, telling him all these different details and all these things that are taking place, from losing his cattle and his servants that were watching his livestock and his cattle being killed, and then even to hear that his children had even died. And this was after even he was making a sacrifice in case they had sinned against the Lord. This was the kind of man Job was, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And then all of these things come to pass, not just in one day, but literally one after the other. In almost a moment of time, you can imagine him trying to catch his breath. But the scripture says in Job chapter 1 verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. The sign of mourning. Look, he wasn't rejoicing in these things, but notice still what he did. He fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that a wise decision to choose to worship God? What a situation to be in. But he knows his God and he's still worthy of worship. Yes, he wasn't rejoicing in this evil that took place and all these. He wasn't rejoicing that his children died and all his cattle were taken and his servants were killed. He wasn't rejoicing in these things, but he rejoiced in the Lord. He still worshipped God and gave him thanks, did he not? He praised him. He didn't blame him. He praised him. He didn't charge God foolishly. No, he understood, though he may not understand the circumstances. You see, Job going through all of this, and even when you read the whole book of Job and come towards the end, I don't necessarily think that the reason for his suffering was explained to him. And so towards the end, he still did not understand the whole purpose in it all, but understood who God was. And you see how God blessed him tenfold more. See, it's not about so much understanding the whys, and why is the circumstance, and why is this, and why is that, and why is that. And oftentimes in due time, we understand the purpose behind it all, and we understand how God used it all, but sometimes we don't. But do you know you could still worship God and give him thanks for it? You may not be able to explain all things, but you can still thank him because he's worthy, because he's good, because he does all things well, because we know that he will use all things together for good to them that love him and to them that are called according to his purpose. And if you want to put everything in one general box as to what's the purpose behind this, in every circumstance of life, okay, you may not be able to understand why this circumstance has taken place, and God has not called us to understand that. But I tell you what you can thank God for by faith is that he is going to take this and use it for good. But more specifically in Romans 8:29, ultimately, everything that God works in our heart and in our life is to bring us more, or it should conform us to the image of his Son. That's the purpose of it all. If you want to look at a purpose, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is that happening? Look, I don't know why, but I tell you what, I don't want to miss the lesson in it. And I want to be careful to continue to praise God through it, even though it may not be pleasant at the time, because you know why? I know God is going to bring some sort of good out of this because he said he would. And not only that, you know, I know at least he's going to bring one kind of good out of it, and that he's going to use this to bring me more into the image of his dear Son. And can't we thank God for that? Instead of trying to work out why this and why that and why is this happening and why is that happening and why is it so hard for this and why is this temptation keep rising up and why this and why that, instead of saying the whys, let's just praise the Lord because we know that he's going to bring good out of it. That may not be good, but God is, and will bring it and will bring to pass good out of it. It's hard to thank God for infirmities, is it not? It's hard to thank God when you're laid out on your bed, or your back's broken, or your knee's broken, or whatever the case may be. You've been smitten, whether by the body corrupting itself or whatever, but you've been smitten with some sort of infirmity, some sort of affliction. It's hard sometimes to thank God, especially when you're feeling the physical pain for it. As a lost man, when I had fractured my vertebrae, as a lost man, I wasn't thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. But as a saved man, every time my back injury would hurt, I thank God for reminding me that I'm not a big strong man that can do whatever I want. And that it's by the mercy and grace of God that I can actually walk. And it's by his mercy and grace I have the strength that I have. Yes, perhaps very limited now, but it's by his mercy and grace that I walk. And I thank God every time that pain kicks in and I'm not able to do the things that I'd like to do in the capacity that I even used to be able to do them, but I've learned to thank the Lord. What, for the back pain? No, for the good that he teaches me out of it. Like Paul the Apostle, when he besought the Lord thrice because he had this infirmity in the flesh, and we know Paul was not a self-focused man. But this infirmity had been grieving him that much that obviously it was just there in his forefront that to the point where at least three times the Bible says he sought the Lord to take it away. It was a hindrance, perhaps. It was a discomfort, no doubt a displeasure. And he sought the Lord genuinely three times, Lord, if he would take it away, that he'd cause this thing to depart from him. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, the Bible says, and he said unto me, speaking of Jesus, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul's response, okay, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he goes on in verse 10, therefore, keeps going, I take pleasure in infirmities. Pleasure? Yes, pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? Because he understands now, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because he's strong? No. Because he understands what the Lord Jesus said, that the strength of the Lord Jesus is made perfect in weakness. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul understood that. And so when you have these infirmities, yes, it's hard, and if you're thinking on those things, of course you're not going to be thankful. But when you're thinking on the Lord, and you understand that he is all things for good, and when the scripture comes flooding through your mind that you know you've besought the Lord perhaps to take this thing away, but he has not, and therefore you say, Lord, rather I'm going to glory in it. Lord, I'm going to take pleasure in it. I don't know how that's going to happen, Lord, but by your grace, I know. Do you know why? Because I know, Lord, in my weakness, all that will come about, I know is not from me. Everything you produce is not because I'm a big, strong man and I'm able and smart and wise and this. No. Paul understood that he could be lifted up, and he understood that this infirmity was given him. Therefore, his response, according to the word of God, was thanksgiving. It is hard to give thanks sometimes for certain things, but when you consider that God has a purpose in it that he will at the very least use in your life and bring to pass in your life, for even the general but yet the main purpose of conforming you to the image of his dear Son, you can rejoice. And in those things, you can give thanks. In that, you can give thanks. You hear testimonies, and I'm not, again, how many testimonies can we share from our departed brothers and sisters in Christ? How many testimonies have we heard of our brothers and sisters who have been martyred for the faith, and some that cause us to marvel, absolutely marvel? We hear one of a brother called John Chrysostom, and he was a bold preacher in his day. But even toward the end of his days, he didn't have necessarily a hard life at the time of his ministry, but toward the end, he was driven into exile, persecuted and despised, driven far away from any comfort and even the honor and respect which he had amongst his people and which he greatly enjoyed. And he died away from all comfort in these circumstances. But his last words, he uttered what people say was his favorite motto, and they were, glory to God for all things. Glory to God for all things. Fanny Crosby, we understand, we know who Fanny Crosby is, we've heard much about her. Losing her sight at 6 weeks old, lost her sight. And then a preacher said this to her, I think it is a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you. Fanny Crosby responded at once, as she had heard such comments before, Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind, said the poet, who had been able to see only for her first 6 weeks of life. And this is why, she said, because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Saviour. What an absolute response. What a thankful Christian. What a thankful Christian. Harry Ironside said, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. You can be discontent, dissatisfied, and you won't be thanking God. But when you're praising God, you'll be thanking Him forevermore. D.L. Moody said, careful for nothing, prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. He was just like a thankful leper, wasn't he? And we can be thankful Christians by the grace of God when we keep God in the equation. Psalm 30, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Forever. We give thanks because He's delivered us, brethren. We give thanks because of 1 Corinthians 15:57 that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and one day the redemption of our bodies. He's going to deliver us from this vile body. We thank God for the deliverance that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank Him. The Bible says, thanks be to God also for the unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's much to thank God for. We can thank God for the brethren, can we not? Paul thanked God for the brethren, but he wasn't just thanking, although we rejoice in their salvation, and Paul did rejoice in the salvation of some, but he rejoiced in certain specific brethren. We see in Romans 16, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also unto the churches of the Gentiles. Ephesians 1:15, we also see, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, it's a good thing to thank God for the saints of God that are living for God. It's a marvelous thing to thank God. Doesn't it compel you to thank the Lord when you think of certain Christians, just thinking of certain Christians that you know they've laid their lives down for the ministry, that you know that they are just servants for God. And yes, they are serving the saints, but you know they're doing it as unto the Lord, like we heard this morning. Isn't that an easy thing and a joyful thing and a wonderful thing to thank God for these different ones? Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Why? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, because you're born again, and of the love which you have toward the saints. You're not a selfish people, you're a selfless people, because you love the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Why? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound, he says, to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. What's Paul thanking God for now for the church at Thessalonica? That they are growing in faith. They have not just come to the faith, but now they are growing in faith. And they're not just growing in faith, they are growing in exceedingly. Have you ever seen one of those Christians that get born again, and in about a year's time you think, whoa, they're just flourishing, and they're just shooting up? And what? 2 years old and you already know that much in the faith? 2 years old and you're already serving the Lord like that? 3 years old and you've already got those kind of convictions? 5 months old and you're praising the Lord like that and can't stop? What's going on? Well, they're growing in their faith and they're growing exceedingly. And that was the kind of Christians Paul was thanking God for, that they groweth exceedingly, and that the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Why? Because if you go back and read Acts chapter 17, there were unbelieving Jews that caused a massive stir in Thessalonica, but yet the Christians endured under persecution. They didn't give in, but kept on. They didn't let in to compromise, but kept on following the Lord, no matter the persecution, no matter the cost. And Paul was thanking God for these kind of Christians. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And may that be a testimony of Grace Bible Baptist Church. May that be a testimony of us, beloved, that we, when people would think of us, they would know, oh yeah, I've heard about you. Oh yeah, I've heard how your church you know, goes out faithfully. I know, yeah, I heard how you preach boldly. And I hearing about this faith, hearing about the gospel, Paul was thanking God for these people in Romans chapter 1, that their faith was spoken about throughout the known world at that time. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, thanking God for the saints of God. But isn't it hard and sad? Isn't it hard and sad when you know certain are saints of God, but it's hard to thank God for them, if you know where I'm getting at? You thank God that they're saved, but that's about it. It's hard to thank the Lord wherever Demas stood with the Lord. So, I personally believe he was a saved man, just went back into the world. It's hard to thank God for where Demas was at, though. Thank you, Lord, he's saved, but that's about it. The prayers go as far as, Lord, restore Demas. Lord, would you show Demas what he's doing and how wicked it is in thy sight, even though perhaps no one else can see? Lord, would you help Demas, Lord, to be sick of his sin? And it's sad. It's, praise God, we can pray that way for the saints that have gone astray. But it's a sad thing that you don't come before God rejoicing over certain saints. And God, help us, every single one of us, from being one of these saints. God, help us that our steps should slip. God, help us that we should backslide. God, help us that we should be on the prayer list of the saints of God, saying, Lord, bring whatever needs to come to pass in their life, that they would be reminded of your love for them in salvation. God, help us not to be one of these Christians, but to thank God for the saints of God is a marvelous thing. In everything, brethren, in everything, give thanks for the will of God. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are many other scriptures, but we can thank God for God, can we not? Never cease to thank God for God. In Psalm 136, thank God for God. Thank God that He is good. Verse 2, I don't actually even have the paper before me, but thank God that He is the Lord of Lords. Thank God that He is the God of Gods. Thank God in Psalm 136, verse 26, that He is the God of heaven, and He is the God of heaven. We can thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ, and for that sacrifice. You see, even in the Lord Jesus, when He broke that bread, as what we understand to be the Last Supper with His disciples, He says He broke this bread. And before explaining what it was symbolic of, the Bible says He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And we see that example in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can thank Him for that sacrifice and that cross, can we not? That we can be thankful Christians. We can thank Him for His Holy Spirit that indwells us and that has sealed us unto the day of redemption, that lets us know when we're going astray, that lets us know if we're grieving Him or displeasing Him, that lets us know if we're quenching Him. Thank God for His Holy Spirit who will teach us all things and who will comfort us. Thank God for the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I thank God that I don't need to do 30 years of Bible college or Bible Institute, then university and some other thing to try and understand John 3:16 or something like that. It's the simple word of God. We understand certain things are harder to be understood than others, but it's simple, brethren. And I don't undermine education and study, for we are exhorted to study, but God forbid that we should be forever learning and never come into the knowledge of the truth. Thank God for the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel and the power of God in salvation. Thank God for the redemption that we're going to one day have in our bodies. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins and for the ever-flowing fountain of cleansing from all unrighteousness. Thank God that we have an advocate with the Father that we can come to. Thank God for even our temporal provisions, although they're going to burn up in that day, but God still provides our needs and faithfully does. Thank God for the strength that He gives us and the life that He gives us, but yea, more that eternal life we have in Christ Jesus and in the life to come. Thank God that He provides our daily bread Our food, our raiment, our shelter. We never go cold. We never grow hungry. Thank God for His mercy, for His grace. Thank God for His everlasting word that is unchanging, never failing, and will always stand. You can do whatever you want to try and get rid of it, but it will always stand. And attempts have made throughout history to get rid of this blessed book, but it will always stand and it will always remain because God has preserved it. And thank God that He's preserved His everlasting word that is faithful and true, and we can have every part of it. Thank God for faithful ministers of the gospel. Thank God for men who are not ashamed to stand up and declare the whole counsel of God. Thank God for men who will not bow the knee to Baal. Thank God for men who will not compromise and go in the way of pragmatism. Thank God for those men that will stick to the book and not seek to bring in methods and try and give God the glory for jumping castles and so forth, but rather leaning upon the power of the Holy Ghost to work in the hearts of men. Thank God that believe this book and live out this book. Thank God for Christians like that. Thank God for ministers like that. Thank God for the church of God. You don't understand, brethren. You don't understand when you come from a background that doesn't have Christian influence in their life. You don't understand how wonderful it is to have the church of God, where you can meet together as brethren, knowing that you are of one mind, of one faith, and that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Thank God for the church of God. Thank God for His spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Can't we thank God for answered prayer? How many times have we besought the Lord concerning certain matters, and we know that God has answered, and yea, answered more than what we even asked for. We can thank God for answered prayer. Thank God for His calling upon our lives to be holy as a whole, in a general sense. Thank God for His call of salvation that has gone to all men. I thank God that His love is shown to all men, that all men can be saved. I thank God for that. I thank God that He showed mercy upon my life, and that mercy is bestowed, mercy is offered to all, and all may enter in. I thank God for salvation that has appeared to all men. I thank God. You know what you can thank God for too? For those that fit this category, you can thank God for being single. Because when you're single, you can do more for the Lord. Because when you're married, the Bible says it, that you do less for the Lord. Do you know why? Because you have certain cares of this world. And when you're married, the advice that my father-in-law gave me once, don't live like a single man when you're a married man. Because you can't do that. You're a married man now. And I took that advice, and that was actually, I never even considered that. Because I was planning to live like a single man as a married man, thinking I'm still going to give my all, but it would have been to the neglect of my wife. But it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And I can thank God for godly counsel. I thank God when I was single, and I thank God for those brothers that prayed for me, that God would give me the blessing of singleness while I was single, that I would live my life for God to the capacity in which He has allowed me to do. And I thank God for those that have prayed for my wife, and I thank God for my wife. I can thank God for being married, and I can thank God that I have someone to serve God with, and I can thank God that He's added someone who is helping. Brethren, we can thank God for children, and those that don't have children, you can thank God for that too, because we understand that God has a purpose behind it all, and we are not thanking God just by the things that He gives us. We are thanking God for God, and we can thank God in these things. I thank God for sanctification. I thank God for tests and trials that have proved me over and over and over again. And that's why they're designed. Tests and trials are given to us to prove us over and over and over again. And when you come out refined and pure, you can thank God for that. And you can thank God by faith even before the end has come. Thank God for tests and trials. Thank God for His faithfulness. Thank God for His holiness. Thank God for His immutability. Thank God for His omnipotence. Thank God for His omniscience. Thank the Lord for God. Thank Him for Him. The list can go on. The list can go on. But brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Never cease to thank God for salvation. Never cease to thank God even for the safety in which you asked Him. Probably most of us here bowed our heads before we drove in and asked safety of the Lord. But don't forget to thank God when you arrive and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. when we ask God for safety as we go about our day, to keep us safe as we work, Lord, and protect us in that, let's not forget to thank God at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us, perhaps even from unseen dangers. Just before you enjoy the blessing of God that's going to fill your belly, don't forget to bow your head and thank God. Thank God for His faithfulness in providing our daily bread, yea, more even in abundance. Thank the Lord. There's much, much to be thankful for. Brethren, God help us to be thankful Christian. Thank God for the church we're in. I can't stop thanking God for the church He's placed me in. I can't stop thanking God for the brothers and sisters He's put in my life. I can't stop thanking God for those that have loved me enough over the years to keep me accountable and to correct me and rebuke me. Brethren, thank God. Thank God. God help us to be thankful Christians. He finds great delight and good pleasure in it. Brethren, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Amen. Amen.